racket of the years I spent trading punches with the enemy. Hid behind a double thick stone tower, lies higher than the eye can see. Trapped in my flesh and bone, crying out to you, Lord, I'm desperate. Love, come rattle this cage and set me free. All of my fears, Jericho walls gotta come down, come down. All of my fears, Jericho walls gotta come down, come down. Oh, my prison turns to ruin when your love moves in. All of my fears, Jericho walls gotta come down. Truth was crashing through the pride in the plane, cut straight to the heart of me. Long before I ever called your name, you were fighting for my victory. Carved in your flesh and bone, the wounds that have set my soul is forgiven. Oh, now I can feel the darkness trembling. Come on! All of my fears, Jericho walls gotta come down. All my fears, Jericho walls gotta come down, come down. Oh, Lord. My prison turns to ruin when your love moves in. All of my fears, Jericho walls gotta come down.
Come on, LFA, we're going to turn this up here. Here we go. Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us here on Rise Up today. We are so very grateful to have you here. And, you know, it's definitely a help for me every single morning here, Monday through Friday, to have people join in this journey with me. We are going to be evolving this show just a little bit. We're going to be having some guests, guests that I just come across on social media that are seeking the word of God, that are, you know, on a journey, just starting their journey. Maybe they fell off their journey and they don't know how to get back. I saw this kid the other day on Instagram who said he doesn't know how to be on fire for the Lord, that he believes in God, that he believes in Jesus wholeheartedly, but he doesn't know how to be on fire for the Lord. And I said, you know, I could easily give this guy some pointers right here, right now. I said, but I would much rather have him come on to Rise Up and have a very substantive, beautiful, wonderful conversation with him in front of all of you, in front of God, and right out in the spotlight. And I reached out to him and I said, hey man, saw your Instagram video, love to have you on. So he's going to be on this Friday, okay? And there's also going to be some other evolution in what we do, you know, going out and doing some street preaching and stuff like that. However, I don't know if we'll be able to do that live. That might be a thing that I go out and record and then we play it. on the show. More than likely, that'll be the way it evolves at first. But it's time to start spreading what we know in a new way. I always say spread the gospel, not the gossip. So we're going to allow ourselves to spread the gospel further than we have been over the last few years. I prayed to God to give more eyes and ears to rise up than Live From America. And here we are every morning with more eyes and ears on Rise Up than ever before, which means that is my answer to my prayers, also an answer to it's okay to move on now. It's okay to speed up the process, to branch out. You know enough now to take the next step. I wouldn't have been able to do that without the validation that we've been getting here at LFA TV. I see Osborne says, we were told our jobs are ending and we're getting laid off. Please pray for that. Ladies and gentlemen, please pray for Osborne. A lot of us complain about our jobs until we lose them, right? And, you know, maybe today's show, Osborne, is going to help you big time. Because here, today, our show is called Trust the Struggle. And I want to read for you, because I didn't get a newsletter out. I'm going to get better at that again, I promise, folks. I promise I'm going to get better at the newsletter and everything else. But right now, I want to read for you what today's show is all about, okay? It's Rise Up, episode number 658 already. Don't know how that happened. And you guys have heard the term, or the phrase, I guess I should say, trust the plan, right? That was a big Q thing. Oh, by the way, before we get busy, I'm going to need everybody watching to click that Rumble button, the thumbs up button. And also, if you can, just grab this link and manually share it out or quick share it to your social media platforms, okay? Another way that we can all pitch in. Osborne, today is going to be perfect for you. So I said we've heard the phrase trust the plan before, especially when it came to the election and the stolen election of 2020, and everybody told you trust the plan, trust the plan. Some people told you to sit on your hands and trust the plan. Other people told you to get involved and trust the plan. But the question is, where does that trust the plan phrase come from? Well, it comes from the Bible, like most things in our lives. It comes from the Bible, trust the plan. But when God tells you to trust the plan, just like everything else on this earth, a worldly version is going to be 180 degrees flipped from what God wanted us to do. So God does want us to trust his plan. He does. He's just not going to tell you what the plan is. Other than, if you trust the plan, obey and follow the instructions, at the end of this journey, there will be a massive blessing for you. You will receive a crown if you can obey. Now, you're not going to know the plan. You're not going to know the roads to take. You're not going to know what next step to take. That right there is the faith. And we're going to dive deep into that today. And we're going to be going to the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. For anybody out there who wants to follow along. Fireboss says, Q is a worldwide military operation. Well, the only plan that we should definitely be trusting in is God's plan. We can't even rely on our own plans. No matter how meticulous we are, no matter how much of a strategist you think you are, everything that you've ever planned will go the wrong way. It'll never work out the way you want it to. You can plan to, you know, get a promotion at work and work your butt off for years, and somebody else, you get skipped over for that promotion and somebody else gets it. You know, doesn't mean that you didn't learn a lot on the way, and doesn't mean that you didn't work your butt off and maybe something else is coming for you, but When you rely on your own understanding, what does Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tell us? It's to not rely on our own understanding, but in all of our ways, trust God, and he will make our path straight, right? Well, how do you do that when nothing is going the way that you would like it to go, or that you thought it would go, or the things you thought you should receive, or the people that brought into your life that you thought that would be there, or that relationship that you've been seeking to have a husband or a wife that is one that God brings you, and you just can't, and it just never keeps happening, and you feel like you're getting older and older and nothing is going the way that you thought? Well, that's okay. That's okay, because like I said, when you trust in your own plans and you trust in your own abilities, you will always be let down. Always, always, always. So we've talked about this before. Everybody talks about this, but we're going to dive deeper into it today than most do. And hopefully we all come out of this at the end with a little bit of a better understanding on trusting the struggle. Last night, if I can give you Jeremy and Joey do a collaboration for music. Woo! That's not a bad idea. It's actually a great idea. It's actually a great idea. Yesterday, my wife and I were on the bike path where we live. And it was late. It was starting to get dark. And her and I were like on a little date. We didn't even expect to do it. We just said, hey, you want to go out on the bike path? We went out on the bike path and we were having a wonderful talk. And joy hit us last night. Which is really hard because yesterday our oldest son left and moved out. And didn't just move out down the road, moved back to New Hampshire. So now two of our oldest kids are living back in New Hampshire. And we were talking about that last night, and we were out on that bike path, and for some reason, joy just started overflowing on both of us. And we got to a point where we were on the bike path and we went under a bridge, and the bridge had the highway up on top, or the main road. And yes, Fun Mom, you get credit when that happens. And so we walked under this bridge and we stopped. And do you know what my wife said? Rocked me to the core. My wife said, I would live under this bridge with you. Faith said, is that your son that came to the ark? No, that's my youngest son. He's our oldest, though, that left, Tristan. My wife said, I would live under this bridge with you, right here. Who says that but a troll? You know? Who says that I would live under this bridge as long as I was with you? Who says that other than a troll under a bridge? And as soon as she said that, a wave of joy hit me. And here I was, because I had to get up at 4 in the morning and take our son to the airport. And now he's my stepson. He's my bonus son. And I've raised him since he was 6. And I get along with his dad great, his biological father great. But he wanted to be back with his biological father. He wanted to live with and around his biological father. I understand that. It's one of the reasons that I moved here to Iowa. So I took Tristan to the airport. And he said, I feel a little nervous about leaving. Gave him a hug. Told him one thing, if I could give him any advice from somebody who was also 18 and was looking for his way, I said, No worldly decision is forever. Remember that. Don't stick in a situation just to, out of pride, or to be in a situation where you can say, see, I did it my own way and it was the right way. If it's the wrong way and you feel that it's not right for you, I said, abandon the decision. Don't cement yourself in a worldly decision. The only decision that should be permanent is your decision to follow God. That's it. And I said, so if you get out there, no, he's not the soccer kid. No, no, that's my youngest, Jaden. I said, if you get out there and you decide, dang, man, I didn't want this. It was an emotional decision I made. I said, then just come back. I said, I know you're 18. I know you're moving out, but guess what? We won't touch your room for a while. We'll leave your room the way it is. If you need to come back, come back. I've raised him since he was 6. He's 18. And so for me, dropping him off at the airport, looking at this man that I raised since he was 6, I said, you got this. Good luck. And I said, stay in church, stay in the Word of God. Okay? And you'll be fine. And so I was having a rough time with that, yesterday. Because now it's like, the second kid is out. And when you're a man, it's very difficult when you're losing members of your family because we're not meant for much. We're meant for providing and protecting. And so when we lose the ones that we're providing and protecting for, it's a chunk of us that's gone. And so I was having a rough time with that yesterday. And it's my wife's biological son, not mine, but it doesn't matter. And so when my wife said to me last night, everything's going to be all right. Think of the things, think of the doors that God is opening up for us as a couple, as each one of our kids move on. And I said, yeah, no, that's true. Like, we'll have less to worry about, less mouths to feed, less bills to pay. Like, I get that. I get that. And she's like, and think of the time that it'll free up as these kids leave for you and I to have our marriage. And I said, I get that. 100%. Still hurts. But last night, when she said, I would live under this bridge with you, I felt all of that go away. I felt joy in my heart. I felt joy in my entire life. And it made me realize that trusting the struggle, as long as you do it in Jesus' name and in God's name, everything is going to work out perfect. Maybe not in your worldly eyes, but in God's spiritual plan, it's going to work out for you. And your blessings will be abundant. And you will receive a crown at the end. So now we have 3 kids left. 2 of which are 16. 1 is 8. And my wife said, think about this. Your fatherly role for the 2 older kids who are now gone has changed. They don't need you in the way that they've always needed you. So you have more of yourself to now give the other 3 in that capacity. And I said, my wife always has to be right. the keep reading lady, right? I don't understand this. Just keep reading, she says. And so I understood it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I didn't realize that my personal story on that weave was going to take such a turn there. All right. Sorry for that. Lord and Heavenly Father, Lord, as we gather today as one church, as a body of Christ, with your mercy and your grace and your blessings that overflow abundantly in our lives, Lord, we are so grateful and thankful. We're so grateful and thankful that we have to go through the struggles in order to receive the blessing of the journey that you have us on, and that it's okay, and that struggles are not struggles. They're growing pains, and we all want to grow. And if we can't grow without growing pains, then we're not growing. And it's so weird, Lord, that we don't get that in the moment sometimes, that we lose focus of that. Lord and Heavenly Father, I remember one time watching a TV show, I heard the phrase, I wish we knew that we were in the good times when we were in the good old times. And Lord, with you, we can do that. With you, we can know that we are in the good old days, presently in the days that we're in. That we can make these memories, that we can put a smile on your face, that we can make you proud of us for being able to keep our focus on you, even during these struggles that are huge life changes for us, whether they be sicknesses or situations in which I'm in, Lord, we just thank you for the struggles. And we pray this in Jesus' name, his life, his death, and his resurrection. Amen. Amen. So that was my personal Monday morning story. Now, on a better note, both of my sisters out in New Hampshire, Crystal and Danielle, I have another one out there. She's yet to come. We're both baptized yesterday in the name of Jesus. And I couldn't be more proud. I didn't know that my other sister, Danielle, was actually getting baptized with my sister, Crystal. So in the morning, I was like, please, everybody, give a shout out to my sister, Crystal. She's getting baptized today. And then my sister, Danielle, chimes in. She goes, what am I, chopped liver? Then I got the video. And they were both baptized in the name of Jesus. I never thought that day would come. I never in a million years thought that day would come. But God said, trust my plan. My plan was to have your sisters so far away from me and to bring you, their older brother, to me first. For you and your family to be made fun of, laughed at, ridiculed and chastised for following Jesus, not for my own purpose, but for your good. I refined you in that moment. Jesus was hated where he was from. Jesus was rejected from his own people, from his own town. And so were you. And after you planted seeds and you were ridiculed, laughed at, and chastised, and you moved on, I watered those seeds while you were gone. I asked you to trust me to water the seeds that you planted in the middle of your struggle, and I did what I promised you that I would do. And yesterday, August 10th, 2025, a year and 2 months to the day after I arrived in Iowa, they gave their life to the Lord and were reborn. Talk about, I feel like a proud dad, let alone a proud brother. I haven't even been fully immersed. We got baptized in a congregational church that was horrible when we first became Christian, and they just put some water on their finger and splashed it in my eyes and in my face, and it was nothing. I didn't really truly give myself to the Lord at that time, but that time is coming. That time is coming. And so when my sister texted me this morning and said, I feel like a new person today. I said, I bet you do. Now, I have been baptized by fire. I have been baptized by the fire of the Holy Spirit, but not by the public proclamation of doing it, being completely submerged in water. If I said emerged, I meant submerged. That day's coming. And I can't wait. I can't wait for that dove to fly out of the sky. And I can't wait to hear God's voice audibly. This is my child and whom I love. I can't wait. And God put my sisters on a path to do it before me. Tell me that ain't amazing. I know ain't isn't a word, but tell me that's not amazing. Let me get to the verse of the day. Now, the verse of the day is actually going to come from Isaiah 55, verse 1. So if you guys go to Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1, that's where we're going to read from. But before we get there, let me read to you from James 1:12 that says, depending on the version that you're reading, some will say blessings, some will say happiness, some will say joy. But let's use the word happy, okay? Happy are those who remain faithful under trials, because when they succeed in passing such a test, they will receive as their reward the life which God has promised to those who love him. Does God promise a horrible life for those who love him? Does God promise a life in which things are thrown at you that you cannot handle for those who love him? No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. So we have to trust that. Now, I want to go to, before I read, and by the way, I got some notes today. Look at this. Boom. Boom. Oh, hold on. There's another one. There's another one. Boom. I got notes today. However, I want to go to the verse of the day today, which is Isaiah 55, 1. Let's go there now. And by the way, Eli's back. So, much deserved weekend off for Eli, because he works weekends too. That's why I always say the Rumble Rant donations go to him, because he works longer than I do, to be honest with you. Here we go. The compassion of the Lord. Now, I want you to understand that what Jesus is talking about here is not what the world thinks he's talking about here. Again, parables, right? Come, everyone who thirsts. Come to the waters. Crystal, you went to the waters yesterday, didn't you? And he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Let's stop right there. How are you supposed to come and buy and eat? How are you supposed to buy wine and milk without money, without a price? See, the worldly people of that day and the Jews of that time, they could not understand what in the heck Jesus was talking about. It was like when Nicodemus asked him, how can you be born again? For what person can go back into his mother's womb and be born again as a full man? They didn't understand how Jesus spoke. When Jesus says, come everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, come buy and eat, come buy wine and milk without money and without price, he's talking about a free gift of salvation and wisdom and understanding from the Lord that is a free gift that you don't have to actually purchase with money, that you can basically receive for free. And that's what he's telling them to do. Obviously, you can't just live off the word just because, like, you can't live just off food. You gotta have both. And Jesus is telling them, don't spend your money on that which does not satisfy. Don't spend your money on that which is not going to bring you further in your walk with me, but receive these gifts for free and buy them with no price. That's what he's saying there. Let's go back. Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. So Jesus is saying, when he says, listen diligently to me, he's saying, obey me. That's what he's saying. He's saying, obey me. Listen to me. Don't just take it in. Apply it. Obey what I'm saying to do. Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Again, he's not talking about actual food. He's talking about the word of God. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples and a leader and a commander for the peoples. Now, he's talking about David, right? But this next verse caught me by surprise because it reminds me of America and Israel. Watch this. Ready? Behold, verse 5, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. What? Now, I'm not saying that was a prophecy to come of United States and Israel. I'm just saying it really captivated me when I see this trend of hating Jews and hating Israel and blaming all the world's problems on the Jews while people profess to be Christians, not knowing that they're Jews first. Jesus was a Jew. He came from the land of Israel. God brought him through those people, which is why they were called his chosen people. Yes, they are hard-headed. Yes, they reject Jesus. Yes, they don't believe Jesus of Nazareth is king. But that does not supersede what God planned and what his plans are to come when Jesus comes back for his second time and he reigns from that region. But the fact that it says, you will call on a nation that you do not know, and a nation that does not know you shall run to you, it makes me really look at our role in our relationship with Israel. And not to put them over us, not to make them better than us, not to put them up on a pedestal, not to cave to all of their whims and whims and demands, but for a relationship. As dysfunctional as it can be sometimes. So when Steve was in here earlier, it's all Jews, Jew inflation. I said, you know, the whole Jew stuff is getting lame and old. The Jew hating. He said the Jew hating will continue to happen, my friend. Wrong. And like Bad Moon says, don't idolize them. That's right. We don't idolize them. We understand where Jesus came from and who we are. We have a new person to the chat, Chef Mary. If everybody can please give Chef Mary some love. B-Hop says LFA is number 3 on the live right now. That's beautiful. Praise God. Chef Mary, first time here. We appreciate you being here. Love you. God bless. Seek the Lord while you may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That means that no matter what time it is, no matter how late it is in your life, run to him, and he'll be there to pardon you. And then here's the greatest. Here's the verses that I wanted to focus on today. Verse 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Then it moves on and says, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Look at my sisters. Ladies and gentlemen, God used me as water, or at least the planter, and then pushed down his water for my sisters. It's all right there. It's all right there. Let me read for you what I wrote down this morning. When you feel weary and exhausted, which all of us have felt before, in our parent and our fatherhood, our motherhood, our careers, our marriages, when you feel so exhausted that you just can't do it anymore with a situation or with a sickness, hold on to the promise in these verses that I read this morning. Okay? The word happy or blessed doesn't mean an easy life at all, but a deep inner joy, no matter what, that comes only from knowing God and his word. So when we were under that bridge last night, and my wife said to me, I'd live under this bridge with you if I had to, as long as I had you. Joy of the thought of living under a bridge with nothing left flooded over me. She also said to me, as she held my hand on this bike path, she said, thank you. I said, for what? She said, thank you for moving us here. Even though we have two kids that we have basically lost out of our everyday lives, at least in the flesh, and they are 1,000 miles away, my wife said, thank you for bringing us here. More joyful than she's ever been. This joy is a reward for those who stand firm and trust in his plan. Trust the plan, right? Remember, trust the plan. We heard it a lot. Now, that was a worldly version of what we ought to be really doing. I don't trust the plan of man. I don't trust the plan of my leaders or Israel's leaders. I trust the plan of God. If you can remain happy and faithful in the midst of a massive storm in your life, leading to daily trials, if you can keep your eyes on the prize and literally trust his plan, and find joy in the darkness with every breath and with every step that you take, he promises a reward at the end, and it's the best reward, okay? A life of peace, hope, and a purpose beyond human understanding without Jesus. A life that is not defined by your circumstances that you're currently in, but a life defined by his love, his mercy, and his faithfulness in you. Don't give up when you can't take another step. Don't lose hope when you can't take another step, or if you can't see where that next step goes. Just ask for more help from Jesus. That's all. Literally, loudly, out of your mouth, speak. I need help. I can't do this. Please help me take this next step. I don't even care if I'm blindfolded. When Moses stood in front of the Red Sea, he had no idea how to cross it. No idea. Moses still took the step closer towards the sea and followed the Lord's instructions without knowing what would happen next, while the Egyptians were at their back ready to kill him. Imagine that. When the Lord told Joshua to march around the city of Jericho 7 times, which is the song we played this morning, Joshua still had no idea on the end of the sixth round what was going to happen. All they did is follow the Lord's instructions. And after the seventh time around that wall, it came tumbling down. Years of erosion happened in seconds. When Naaman had leprosy, he was told to dip himself in the Jordan River seven times to be healed. Until the end of the sixth time, he wasn't healed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'm still not healed, Lord. But the seventh dip was a miracle because he followed the Lord's instructions. You don't have to have a blueprint of what's going on or what's going to happen in your life next. You don't. All you have to know is that you have a great leader, a great teacher, somebody who will grab your hand when you're going the wrong way, even if it feels right to you, and the promise of his blessings that at the end of the battle, well, you know the rest, that you're going to receive an ultimate blessing. Now, let me tell you a little story here before I show you a video, okay? I went to this really expensive sales training back when I worked for in an IT company. I didn't pay for it. They paid for it. It was $10,000 for 4 days. And they sent me on this high-level sales training in which at the end, you had to actually lead a team and sell a product to actual corporate million-dollar company, billion-dollar company, corporate executives. They actually had them come in, and we had to go up in front of this board of executives, and we had to actually close the deal, close the sale with them. It was, I didn't think it could be possible, but we did it. My team actually did it. We succeeded, and we got second overall, okay? Now, let me tell you this story about how that was possible, because during 2 days of death by PowerPoint, ridiculous. At the end of the second day, this guy who's like sold like billion-dollar deals gave us a pitch. And I'll never forget it. Okay? He said to me, or he said to the class actually, have you guys ever done home repair? Everybody put their hands up. How many people here have tried to do their own home repair because they didn't have the means or the resources to hire somebody? Every guy put their hands up. Guy said, have you ever had to come into a situation where you had to run a pipe or some hoses or something through a joint or through a joist or a wall and you had to drill a hole? A lot of people put their hands up. He said, okay, so let me tell you a story. New homeowner needs to drill a hole. Doesn't have a bit, doesn't have a drill to do it. So what does he do? First thing he does, he goes to a hardware store, Home Depot, Lowe's, whatever. The local hardware store, Ace. He goes to the local hardware store because he wants to buy the tools to drill that hole. So, and he doesn't have them yet. He's a new homeowner. He doesn't have all that stuff yet like you do when you're 50. So the homeowner goes to the hardware store and he says, somebody says, can I help you? And he says, yes, I need a drill. And they said, what kind of drill do you need? I don't know. What are you doing with the drill? Well, I got to drill this hole. How big does the hole have to be? Has to be 2 inches. Do you have something that will drill through that with the drill? No, I need that too. Okay, good. So let me go take you and show you what you should buy. Now the homeowner's standing there and he sees DeWalt, Milwaukee, Craftsman, Ryobi. He sees all these different kinds and he's overwhelmed. He has no idea what to do, what to buy. He sees they're all different prices. Is it better to buy the most expensive one because it's most expensive, or should I buy the one that's cheap? Right? Moral of the story is this guy told us this. He said, that homeowner is not there to buy a drill. That homeowner is not there to buy the drill bit. That homeowner is not there to buy a specific kind of drill. That homeowner is there to buy the hole. And I'm thinking to myself, what? And the guy said, yeah. The homeowner doesn't care about the drill. It's the salesman's responsibility to sell that man what he needs in order to alleviate his pain point. It's not about selling a material, and it's not about selling a product, and it's not about selling a specific tool. You're selling a solution. That person will do whatever you need them to do in order for you to fix a problem in their life that they have. That person is there to buy the hole, not the drill. So in the end, this person, for everything that he's done, he has no idea what he's doing. He has no idea what tool he's going to buy. He has no idea what brand he's going to buy. He knows really nothing other than the fact that he needs that hole. And at the end, he gets that hole that he needed. And God blessed him with the hole, but the guy had no idea what he was going to do to get there. He had no idea the path he was going to take. He just knew, this is my instruction, this is where I need to go, and he followed instructions. And the salesperson alleviated the pain. And I'll never, ever forget that. That when you're selling something, you're not selling a product. You're selling a solution to a pain. And when you're following Jesus, you don't have a blueprint and you don't know what to do and you don't know where you're going. All you know is that in the end, you're going to get that hole. You're going to get that blessing. However it is that you're going to get there, and you're going to follow instructions until you get there because you don't know what you're doing. And I'll never, ever, ever forget that sales tactic because, again, it's not about getting over on somebody or making money. It's about alleviating a pain point that they have in their lives. And it hits me every day. Every day when I'm going through struggles, I just go, I don't need to know which drill to buy. I don't need to know what kind to buy. All I need to know is that I got to follow instructions to get to that end point. And that end point is wherever God wants me to stop and say, here's your crown. You ready for your next mission? And you know what? Wayne, however you say it, my blueprint is the Bible. Perfect. Right there. Basic instructions before leaving Earth. Your blueprint is the Bible. I love that. Love it. All right, let's go to our daily video here. And I love this guy and I love what he does. So, without further ado, here is Christ's reward.
Cheater, that cheater, puppy eater.
why am I a cheater?
You got a wheel.
Oh,
Jesus,
man.
Didn't have a wheel.
It's not that heavy. I thought it was going to be heavier than that.
A little Jesus. All right. Jesus loves you.
Keep it in your pocket and you always know it's with you.
Amen.
Give it to somebody else.
Yes. So a question we're asking people today is, have you ever met someone famous?
Daredevil Bland.
Ozark's Daredevil.
Daredevils.
A Christian rapper called KP.
Kelly Finglas. She's the director of the Dallas Cowboy Cheerleaders.
Okay.
And I love her.
Meta Lark Penelope.
Who's that?
The Harlem Globetrotters.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I have.
All right.
Danny Glover.
Here's a question. Who?
Danny Glover.
Okay.
I met Michael Jordan at Nobu in the Bahamas.
Okay.
He was rude.
So if you met her,
uh-huh.
Would you keep it to yourself?
No, I would tell everybody.
Yeah, that's right. All right, here we are in Branson, Missouri, carrying the cross. It is our 30th city, and this area, I would say, is kind of like a mecca for Christianity. Just lots of Christians come here. So we're here, and what we're really pushing for in our 30th city is an encounter with Jesus. A lot of Christians, but what's your fresh encounter with Jesus? You know the story in John 4? Do you know what happened in John 4? If not, it's okay. There's a woman, she's sitting at a well.
Yeah.
She encounters Jesus. And she's like, you know, Jesus.
Story.
Yeah, having this dialogue. Do you know what happened after she encountered him?
She ran and told everybody.
She told everybody. There's another story with a woman, and you know who the first person was that saw Jesus after he saw the tomb was empty?
No, I do not.
There's a lady named Mary Magdalene. And do you know what she did?
She carried God's baby. She carried Jesus.
No, that was a different Mary. That's okay.
Maybe I'm not the best for this.
No, this is perfect. So Mary Magdalene sees the tomb. Do you know what she did afterwards, after she saw the tomb was empty?
She told everybody.
She told everybody. She told everybody. A story I've been talking to people about today is in the Bible, in John 4. There's a woman. She's sitting at a well. And she starts talking to Jesus, and they have this conversation, and ultimately gets to the point at the end of the conversation, she realizes Jesus is the Messiah. And she went and told the whole city afterwards. Do you know why? Because Jesus, when you have a true encounter with Jesus, there's an overflow to tell other people. Out of the overflow with Jesus, you know, when was the last time you shared Jesus with somebody?
That's a good question.
In the midst of a Christian city, lots of Christians, a lot of people talk about God, you know, going to church, hearing preaching. Is that really saving us, you know? How's that impacting us? Is it all about going to church, or is it having a relationship with Jesus? And, you know, maybe some people today, they're going to have their first encounter with Jesus, truly. But what we want is we want daily encounters with the Lord through His Word, through His Spirit, and then we go share that with people. Hey, you know, this is what Jesus, because He wants a relationship with you.
Yes.
And to be like the woman at the well.
Yes.
That's my encouragement.
Thank you, man.
It started for me 20 years ago. I had an encounter with Jesus, and He changed my life forever. I gave Him my life. But I didn't limit it to that one encounter. I've been walking on a journey with Him ever since.
Yeah.
Here's my question to you. First of all, are you born again?
I was baptized, yeah, at 9 years old.
Okay. Do you know what it means to be born again?
No.
You ever heard of the phrase born again?
Born Christian.
Yeah, that's that. What do you think that means?
I guess they've been saved by Jesus, and I guess not.
Yeah.
I'm not real big on
okay.
I don't really understand the Bible too much.
Yeah, no problem.
But I still pray all the time.
Yeah. My desire is for people to have an encounter with Jesus. And not just with religion, not just with a pastor, not with just a Christian, but with Jesus. And when you truly encounter Him, not just letting the encounter go by. Like in the Bible, tons of people encounter Jesus, but not everybody chose to follow Him. And Jesus wants your heart. He wants your life. You know what hinders us sometimes from following Him, though? Sin. Pride. We think we can do it on our own. So it takes humility to come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I've encountered You. Now I'm going to give my life to You. So the thing is why I do what I do in this encounter with Jesus, I get to meet with Him on a day-to-day basis by His Spirit.
Yeah.
His Spirit was sent to me, and now I get to talk to Him. I get to read the Word. I was in the Word this morning reading about people living by faith in Hebrews 11, and I too can live by faith. I'm in this relationship with God, and I want other people to have this relationship with God. And you can have a relationship with God, not just on Sunday, not just through religion, not just through, you know, hearing another good message.
Yeah.
But you can surrender to Him and be born again, where you can have a daily fellowship with God. That's really what's in my heart, and God wants that for you.
I love that.
So then
yeah.
You can go tell others about Him. You've got to have a fresh encounter with Jesus.
I do. I also need to go back to church. I haven't been to church in like 2 months.
Jesus is after your heart. He wants you to surrender to Him. Would you want to surrender to Him today?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. He wants to be working in your life. He wants a relationship with you. What do you think about that today?
It's pretty neat.
My question is, would you want that relationship with Him today?
Sure.
Here's the thing. This prayer that, if you pray this prayer I'm about to lead you in from your heart, your life will change.
Okay.
From your heart.
Okay.
This doesn't come from your head. I did that 20 years ago. This is the initial encounter. And you'll be like the woman at the well, I believe. You'll go tell others.
Yeah.
All right? So just say this with me. Jesus.
Jesus.
I surrender.
I surrender.
I want a relationship with You.
I want a relationship with You.
I surrender.
I surrender.
I make You my Lord.
I make You my Lord.
I choose. To follow You. Forgive me my sin.
Forgive me my sin.
Help me.
Help me.
To tell others. About You.
About You.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus, I just pray for this amazing lady today. I pray, Holy Spirit, that she goes and tells everybody about You. Pray as in Acts 2, the Holy Spirit came. I pray that the Holy Spirit comes upon her and come in her as she proclaims Your name boldly in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, what do you feel right now?
I feel really good.
What do you feel right now?
Awesome.
Yeah. Well, here's what I would encourage. Just believe in today's a new beginning. When I first gave my life to Jesus, a lot of the Bible didn't make sense. But over time, it has. And there's still things that don't make sense. That's called the walk of faith, right? So I pray today is an encounter at the cross that leads you to share with others.
Thank you.
Glad you spoke to me. I saw you earlier.
Yeah, I know. I've seen that. I was like, that is awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't know what you guys were doing, though.
Most people don't. Do you have a Bible?
Yes, I do, yeah.
Read John 4.
John 4?
This is what I'm talking about. She had an encounter with Jesus, just like you, surrendered, and said, and then went to, told the whole city.
Yeah.
Go tell all of Branson. I don't know.
I need to. I mean, I think there's this is cool what you guys are doing, because yeah. This is like, I mean, yeah, I didn't know what you guys are doing until I asked you.
Well, don't just
and
talk about me.
You.
Talk
yeah.
about Jesus.
Well, thank you, guys.
Yeah, this was a divine appointment.
Thank you.
Alrighty, I hope you were encouraged by this video. I encourage you to have an encounter with the Lord and go share Jesus with someone today. And, yeah, don't be afraid how you share Jesus. Just share the gospel. Just get out there today and be like the woman at the well in John 4. If you like this content, share it. Share it everywhere. And like it. So
share it. Share it everywhere. Imagine if 4,000 of us that are in this live chat still were every day out there sharing with 10 people, no matter when and no matter where. Just, I'm going to spread the gospel to 10 people today. Even if it's to say, well, just like God said in Philippians 4:13, you know what I mean? Like, you can like bring up anything that somebody's going through, just say, well, the Bible says, and just know like 10 verses that will relate to other people's, you know, daily lives, and use it there. I could do it more too. I'm going to do it more. But like the lady at the well, she ran and told everybody. Imagine if we ran and told everybody. Sean Farris is coming up next because President Trump is going live. So please, ladies and gentlemen, do not leave this channel. President Trump is going live with Sean Farris next here on LFA TV, Ungoverned. Sean will be showing that. So I'm going to need you to get everybody in here, share the video, get it out. President Trump going live, talking about how he is going to save and keep DC safe from the crime that's going on there. And remember, we went through 4 years of absolute hell, a trial we did not understand how we were going to overcome. And we all stuck together, and we all gave it to God, and we all listened, we followed instructions, and day by day we had to do what we had to do that day. We didn't worry about what happened on the night of 2020, and we didn't worry about what was going to happen on the night of November 4th, 2024. All we knew is that we were going to do what God wanted us to do. God would do the rest, and we would save this nation. That's the kind of faith, that little faith that we had right then and there. If we had that faith that we had for the last 4 years to get us back on the right track, then we definitely have the faith to continue to do what we need to do every single day for God's growth, right? All right. Sean Farris coming up right now, guys. God bless you, and I'll see you in an hour for Live from America. See you later. Here it comes. Choice but to believe my doubts are burning.